We accept this grace that has been poured out since the beginning of time as we open our hearts and our ears to God's word and to the proclamation of the gospel. And so would you pray with me and for me? Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, even though I've been a United Methodist all of my faith life, especially in high school, I hung out with the Pentecostals a lot. And so sometimes I forget what it is to be kind of your typical, normal United Methodist as it comes to the Holy Spirit. And so we've been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit in this series, and I've checked in with a few of our small group leaders to just ask, how do people in the group seem to be connecting? Do they have a real sense for how the Holy Spirit works, or is that something we need to take some work on? And they said, well, we probably could use some more work on that, as we've talked about that. So I want to help us today in two easy steps. How do we know if we have the Holy Spirit? So I need you to do this with me. The first step is just, you want to put your hand just about this high. Can we do that? And once your hand's about that high, you say, hallelujah. All right, now let's really make sure we got it. You can do either one hand or two. Two works really well, too. And with a little bit of gusto, say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, wow. All right, now that's not really how to know if you have the Holy Spirit, but that was a lot of fun. So thanks for playing along there. By the way, you are welcome at any point, at any sermon, to put your hand up and say, hallelujah. I'm not going to hold that against you. You might get me a little excited. I'm feeling a little energized after that. Here are really the two ways that you can know that you have the Holy Spirit. The first is, do you know that Jesus loves you? Is that something that speaks to your heart? Do you know the love of Christ? And then the second is, do you love Jesus back? It's one thing to know that God loves you through Jesus and what Jesus has done for you. But then do you love God back? Now you might say, well, that kind of sounds like the definition of what it means to be a Christian. And you'd be right. But if you know that God loves you and you love God back, then you have the Holy Spirit in your life. It's not about a particular action of raising your hand or saying hallelujah or rolling down the aisles or anything like that. Those are fine ways to express the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, but if you've ever wondered, do I have the Holy Spirit? It's that simple. Do you know that Jesus loves you, and do you love Jesus back? And if you think I'm going way out on a limb here, let me just tell you in Jesus' words from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. You know him, for he lives with you, and he will be with you. And so there Jesus says, essentially what I've just said, do you know the love of Jesus? Jesus says, if you love me, then I'll give you the Spirit. So we one of the ways we love Jesus back is by doing what he says, and so we have the Holy Spirit as followers of Jesus. And so maybe you might talk about having an experience of feeling close to God. Maybe that's something that's regular. Maybe that's something that's kind of happened at special times for you. Or just simply the fact that you can even know the Spirit. Scripture tells us the fact that we know that God loves us, that only happens by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. If we want to get technical about it, all of our experiences in terms of anything we might have felt in terms of closeness to God or feel like maybe God spoke to us at a particular time, all of that is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We may say that the Father spoke to us or we felt the presence of Jesus. We're not wrong in that. But from a technical standpoint, the Father and the Son are on the throne, And it's the Holy Spirit that Jesus has given us to experience and to live these lives. And so as we talk about how the Spirit empowers us today, this is the part of our vision statement that we find ourselves. God calls and empowers all of us. And if we're going to talk about how it is that God empowers us, it's by gifting us with the Holy Spirit. So I just want to make sure that we're clear on a couple really foundational things about the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Spirit in our lives in order to let these words from Timothy, the letter to Timothy, speak into who we are and what God is trying to do in the midst of our lives. And so as we walk through this today, I want us to think about the what, the how, and the why of the Spirit's power in the way that God empowers us to live these lives as Christians. So the what, there's actually two parts to the what here. What is the Holy Spirit and what is the power of the Spirit? So what is the Holy Spirit? This is pretty simple. It's the Spirit of God. Again, it's any experience that we would ever have of God at this point in the history of the world since Jesus gave the Spirit to the early church. Anything after that, our experience of God is the Holy Spirit. This is the aspect of the Trinity, the one who interacts with us today. And so we shouldn't talk about God's Spirit as it. It's not an it. It's a person of the Trinity. Not exactly a he or a she in terms of how we think of male or female, but we wouldn't be wrong to express he or she. A lot of the pronouns in the Old Testament that talk about the Spirit are feminine pronouns. But so we see both aspects of maleness and femaleness in God. But it's important. The Spirit is not an it. The Spirit is a person of the Trinity, fully God, full member of the Trinity. So we don't refer to the Spirit as it. Well, as a member of the Trinity, the Spirit has always been present with the Father and the Son. And so we go back to the very beginning of Scripture in Genesis. The second verse of chapter 1 tells us about the presence of the Spirit during the work of creation. We're told that this early earth was formless, dark, and empty, and yet the Spirit was there hovering, is what we're told there in those verses. And so the Spirit is every bit God, just as Jesus and the Father are. And so again, that's really foundational, kind of simple stuff, but so important for us to understand. What is the Spirit? So what is the power of the Spirit? How does the Spirit empower us? Well, we read in verse 7 this morning, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-control." The work in the presence of the Spirit is there with us in every detail of our lives. We see the power of the Spirit in the New Testament allowing people to do amazing things. They were able to deliver others from suffering, from demons. We see them speaking in tongues, healing physical ailments, and in some cases, we even see that some people are raised to life from the dead. And while we don't typically see that sort of power worked out in that exact way today, is it still true that we have the power of the Spirit for us as believers? Yes. Absolutely. 1,000 times yes, the Holy Spirit is present in working in your life today. The thing about the Spirit, though, as powerful as God is, God invites us to be followers. He doesn't force that upon us. And so if we don't welcome the power of the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives and understand how God is and wants to even be working more fully in our lives, then we're not apt to experience the kind of power that they saw in the early church if we can't simply welcome the work of the Spirit in our lives when it comes to our closest relationships. When it comes to our work or our school lives, when it comes to the way that we interact with people as we do our business at grocery stores and Walmart. The power of the Holy Spirit can do the big things that change the whole world. And yet, if we don't open the door to let the Spirit work in the small things of our lives, we may find ourselves as Christians saying, well, I don't really know that the Holy Spirit works in my life at all. Or, well, I think the Holy Spirit used to do such and such back in the early church, but I don't know that God works in that way anymore. And I absolutely believe that God works in that way, but if we don't welcome this power, love, and self-control that verse 7 promises us into our relationships with those that are near, our family and friends, into our work or school lives, then we're probably not going to understand when God is trying to move us to deeper and more profound ways of experiencing His power, love, and self-control that might have a bigger impact on the world. So, what is this power of the Holy Spirit? How does that work in my life? It's the power of how God touches our lives and then how that affects every area of life for the Christian. You don't have to move to Africa to be a missionary or become a pastor to know this power, love, and self-control that the Spirit wants to give us. Every Christian in every part of their lives are invited to make the Holy Spirit a part of what you are doing at every moment. And so this is the real power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's in the big things that God might be calling us to do, and we'll spend a little bit of time in the next couple weeks talking more about those things. But again, if we don't experience it and welcome it and look for it in the more regular, mundane, everyday parts of our lives, then we likely won't think to look for it in the bigger things, or we'll just think that we're not capable of that. And yet, God calls and empowers all of us to live and to work for the kingdom. How does this happen, though? How does the Holy Spirit empower? We are invited to follow Jesus. God doesn't want us to be held back by our past. So any thought about, well, I don't know that I'm good enough, or oh, I'm just little old me, and this is what I've been before, and so I don't know that God can really work in me or through me. No, God does not want us to be held back by that. Even in the present, if we find ourselves being tripped up or held back by a particular sin, God says, I don't want that to be what defines you. I got more in store for you than that. And so God doesn't want us to be entangled by the sin that so easily ensnares. And that could be any number of things that might hold us back from more fully living for God today. And in general, God doesn't want us to be timid about our love for Jesus, or have fear that might stop us from letting God's love and word change our lives. This is not God's will for us. And so if there are reasons that we think sound logical that hold us back from more fully following God, these are not God's voice in our lives and in our hearts. And so one of the ways that the Holy Spirit empowers us is by helping us understand just how powerful God is. That nothing from our past or present or any way we may trip up in the future, none of that holds us back from being able to be used by God. None of that holds us back from being able to be more fully loved by God. And so we talked earlier in this series about what it looks like, what it means to be led by the Spirit. And part of what we talked about within that is listening to the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we need to know what the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds like. And so this is why a life that is regularly put before God in prayer, a life that we regularly find ourselves reading Scripture, not just Sunday morning or not just as part of our small group. That's why these things are important, not just so we can look holy and tell people, yeah, well, I read my Bible on a regular basis, or check that box off to say, well, this is what good Christians do. No, we do those sort of things because it opens our heart to what God wants to do. And so as we open our ears, our eyes to God's word through scripture and prayer, we begin to hear and learn the voice of the Father. And so the Holy Spirit will empower us if we're open to that, to hear what God is saying to us through scripture. And so the Holy Spirit inspires all of scripture to speak into our lives. And one of those verses tells us to not only be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. And so not only does the Holy Spirit empower us to be able to hear what God is speaking as we sit and read scripture, or as we talk about it in a small group of other Christians, or as we hear it proclaimed on a Sunday morning through a sermon, but then the Spirit gives us power to say, well, how does that apply to my life? And what do I either need to do different, or what do I need to do more of? And so, you know, the Holy Spirit's power isn't some far-off thing that we can't connect to. It's sometimes the answer to the question of, well, what does it look like for me as a person of faith to put the next foot out in front of me and take this next step? And then what about this next step? It's in the little things that as we begin to understand what the sound of God's voice is, that we find ourselves led more and more by the Spirit. In the spring of my freshman year of college, we had a chapel speaker that God used to really stir my heart. And as he spoke that day, I felt inclined to go and hear. They let us know that he'd be speaking later that afternoon, and I sensed that I needed to be there and hear what he had to say. And as I listened to him talk that afternoon about the ministry he ran in inner city Philadelphia and the need for college students to come and work as summer missionaries, I knew that God was telling me that I needed to go. The problem was that he talked for a while because he had a lot of stories, and the longer he talked, the more time it gave me to think of really good excuses as to why I couldn't go and do what I felt the Spirit was asking me to do. And yet, by the time he finished, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that was what I needed to spend the 2.5 months of that summer doing. And I knew that nothing, excuse or reason that I could come up with was worth saying no. And yet, it was one thing to hear what God was saying, but I needed to lean on the Holy Spirit and say, all right, God, I need the power for this. You know, you need to help me tell my parents that I'm not coming home for summer, that I'm going to go live in the inner city of Philadelphia. And God, I'm going to need your help because, college is expensive and I got to go back next year. And so you need to help me figure out what this is going to look like if I'm going to take these steps of faith. And so The Holy Spirit worked in that and empowered me to be able to do something that, through every rational reason, didn't look like it should happen or could happen. And yet it all worked out. Within a couple $100, I ended up getting exactly what I needed through support of my local church to be able to be at school the next year. And, you know, those conversations of worrying, like, well, what are my parents going to think? Those things went fine. But I needed to trust the Spirit, and those things were difficult, and yet God worked. I let the power of the Holy Spirit be bigger than my fear in those moments. Well, that was kind of a big example, and I promise that this isn't just for the big things in our lives, but this is for the everyday. So I want to also give an example of what this looks like in our everyday lives. Now, there are times in my life where I can get caught up in the adult issues of my life, things that are going on at work or maybe news stories that have me wondering, what's going on in the world and how I might interact with others, either as a pastor or how do I talk to my kids about these things. And so sometimes I get stressed about work, or I get preoccupied when, you know, for instance, when the shooting in Las Vegas was happening a couple weeks ago, you know, man, what does that mean about this world, and how do I talk about that? And so whether it's stress or just distraction, in my life with my kids, sometimes those sort of things have an impact. And so I need the power that our scripture today promises us that we could have. I need the love. I need the self-control of the Holy Spirit to not let these other factors impact the time that I spend with my kids. And so sometimes that means taking a couple deep breaths before I open my mouth and respond to something that is going on before me. Sometimes it means I need to ask the Holy Spirit to allow me to put aside those other things, those stresses, those things that I'm worried about, in order to really be present with my kids in those moments. Sometimes it means having the courage to look back on an interaction and ask if my kids really needed that correction at that time, or if I could have just let that go. Sometimes it even means looking back and seeing that I overreacted to something, and then going to my kids and letting them know that I was wrong and asking for their forgiveness. The Spirit stirs these sort of things in my heart, but I have to let the power of the Spirit be bigger than my distractions or my fear or my grumpiness or my need to be right. The Holy Spirit will work to give us this power, love, and self-control beyond what we feel like, that we might live more and more as Jesus would if he was walking in our lives. And so I hope some of those things help you understand the how of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That yeah, it's the big things, but it's also the little everyday things that the Spirit wants to and will be with us. Why would the Spirit do this, though? So this is our last thing, to think about why. Why do I need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Why would God take that time? Well, we know that God loves us, but we also know that life is hard. And so we talked about last week this work of maturity that Jesus wants to do in us, and that's hard too. Paul invites Timothy, through the words that we heard here, to join with him in the suffering, the hard stuff, not just of life, but the hard stuff of following Jesus. And so, because of the realities of these lives that we live, that they're not easy, we will not live the life that God calls us to, in the way that God wills for us, without the power of the Holy Spirit to do so. Verse 9 from our reading reminds us of this. He has saved us and called us to a holy life because of his own purpose in grace. Jesus has a way that he wants and needs to impact this world that comes only through your faithfulness. Jesus has a purpose for your life that no one else can accomplish, that no one else can do. He made you unique. No one else is exactly like you. That wasn't a mistake. God has particular things for you to accomplish as part of his purpose in this world. And so we might say, well, why would God bother empowering little old me by the power of the Holy Spirit? And it's because he has something that only little old you could do in this world. You cannot live into the call that God has for you in your life unless you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that work. And again, God doesn't desire for anything to hold us back from living into the love that he has for us. So there's no excuse. It doesn't matter what stage of life we are in or what our experience or lack thereof might be. God desires to use you and to continue to use you. That may look different at different times in your life, but God will always use you by the power of your Spirit, by the power of his Spirit within you, if you would welcome him in. And so the scripture today begins with this idea. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. And so we kind of have this instinct when it comes to flames. Well, look what I did right there. It almost went out. What did I do? put my hand up. Why did I do that? Keep the draft. I wanted to protect it, right? So it would come to flame. We don't have to watch much of the news over the past couple weeks, though, to understand the power of what even a little flame like this could do if you live in California where it hasn't rained for a while, right? And so these little flames that get lit and we feel this instinct to protect it actually has great power. I'm going to imagine if I dropped this right now, some of you would react to that great power by running up and trying to make sure that it gets put out really fast, right? Because we understand that there's power there. And yet, when it's small, when it's first started, we need to protect it. And so we're talking about the Holy Spirit here, and it says, fan into flame, and we might think, well, this is the power that was hovering there before creation, and as the world was formless and empty and full of chaos, it's the power of God's Word and Spirit that made everything we know and experience come into being. How can that be gentle? How can that be fragile? And yet, while we can never extinguish the power of God in the universe, God gives us the ability to close our hearts and to not experience that power. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy, and we hear this encouragement by the Spirit today to fan into flames these little flames of what God is trying to do, that we might find God working in powerful ways. All right, I want to be careful of that, so I'm going to put that out now as I say these last couple things. How do we fan that into flame? Well, I alluded to it as we started today. It's having ears that are open to hearing what God has to say. But it's not just this passive listening. It's an active thing. And so we're invited to talk to the Spirit. Ask for help. I am constantly saying, Holy Spirit, fill me, be with me, use me. I'm always trying to open that door that is otherwise so easy to close. Again, maybe it's distraction, maybe it's worry, maybe it's fear, all these sort of things that hold us back from doing what God really wants to use us for. Talk to the Spirit, ask for help. Be honest. Say, God, I can't do this. When I sat there listening to that speaker talk about Philadelphia, as much as I knew it was exactly what I needed to do, again, there were a million reasons, it seemed, why I shouldn't or couldn't. And so I found myself saying, God, I can't do this without your help. So we listen, we open ourselves, and we're honest. Spirit, I can't do this. I won't do this. I don't have enough faith for this. Spirit, I feel like this sin or this shortcoming is holding me back. I need your power. I need your love. I need your self-control. The Spirit will give us what we need to be empowered to live the lives that God is calling us to live. The Spirit is not delicate. But if we don't open our hearts, we don't have that power there. So fan into flame God's work, God's voice, God's love by opening yourself to what the Holy Spirit has for you and the power that He desires and will give to you.